In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation." I think we can check that one off the list. "And kingdom will rise against kingdom." That one too. Check. "There will be great earthquakes." Check. "In various places, famines." Check. "And pestilence." Check. "And there will be terrors." Check. "And great signs from heaven." Check. "But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you." Check and check. It is all just as our Lord said it would be. 2,000 years ago, he prophesied that these things would happen to his disciples even before the destruction of the temple, and that they would be persecuted. And that's precisely what happened. He also told them that he would give them a mouth of wisdom that none of their adversaries could contradict. And that, too, is exactly what happened. In fact, this prophecy and this promise of Jesus to his apostles is true, and it continues in our very midst today in the writings of these apostles, in the apostolic scriptures. In these we have wisdom that even 2,000 years later none can refute. It is all just as our Lord said it would be. He prophesied that even before the end of the temple there would be false Christs, and there were. That there would be wars and tumults, and there were. That there would be a laundry list of earthquakes and famines and terrors, and indeed there were. He prophesied before the destruction of the temple some of his disciples would be put to death, and so they were. And yet in the very same breath of this prophecy, he said to them, "Not a hair on your head will perish, but by your endurance you will gain your lives." When Stephen, the very first Christian martyr, was about to die, about to be stoned to death, he looked into heaven and said to his murderers, all gathered round, "Look, I see heaven opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And with Stephen, the whole church began to see what Jesus had meant. Even though we die, not a hair on our head will perish. By our endurance, we will gain our lives. It is all just as our Lord said it would be. Our Lord's sermon for today, as is often the case with prophecy, is telescoping together two future events, one near and one far: the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and the judgment at the end of the age. To oversimplify for the sake of brevity, and I do mean that, I am oversimplifying for the sake of shortness, we can roughly divide Jesus' sermon into three parts. The first section is that in which Jesus prophesies the destruction of the temple and all the events that led up to it. And all this happened just as he said. The second section, verses 20 to 24-ish, he prophesies of the destruction of Jerusalem and the events that would lead up to it. And everything happened just as he said. And then in verses 25 through 36, he prophesies of the destruction of the world with all the events that will lead up to it. And guess what? All of it will happen just as he says. And this is precisely our comfort. Whether it is the whole world shaking around us or just our individual lives, whether it is yet another headline on the news or something more personal, we need not be afraid. That's one of the key points of Jesus' sermon to us today. Our Lord Jesus is now risen from the grave. He is quite in control, and he is very much with us. Whether you're considering the whole scope of the world's impossible problems or just the specific sorrows that have come upon you, all things, all times are in his hands. That's Jesus' point. So great is this point that one of our greatest of the Lutheran fathers, St. Martin Chemnitz, taught, not only has God predestined us to heaven, but he also so loves us that he predestined the use of our sufferings and our sorrows so that we may be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, it may not feel like much, but it is the truth that there is no greater honor in all of heaven and all of earth than to be conformed to the image of God's own Son. And if suffering and sorrow were not below the dignity of God's own Son, they certainly are not below our dignity either. And if he endured them, suffered them, and in due time triumphed over them, then so shall we, for we belong to him. What's more, this same Christ, Christ himself, Christ the crucified, the man of sorrows, promises to be with us always in this very sanctuary. It is he who calls us to his table and opens up his meek and lowly heart, who wipes away every tear from our eyes and puts the medicine of peace and the medicine of life, the medicine of joy and the medicine of immortality on our lips. Drink of it, all of you, he says, that we might be strengthened by his strength and endure as he endured. He shall do it thus. This is why he desires to give us the blessed sacrament of his love often. It is our meat and our drink, our strength and endurance in this veil of tears. All things shall be exactly as he said, nothing outside his control. All things, as mysterious or as difficult as they may be, are in his hands. And although we cannot always understand them or understand why, they are nonetheless, as he promises, they are for our good and for the good of those who love him. Only in his hands are we truly in good hands. And there upon his hands we see the marks of the nails, the sign of his unfathomable love. When we look anywhere else in all the world, in all our experiences aside from Christ, we might doubt God's love. But not and never if we have our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Has he not loved you so deeply that your very sins he has taken as his own? When they stripped him of his clothing, it was for you. When they whipped and scourged him, it was for you. When they beat him, spat upon him, and pressed the crown of thorns upon his innocent head, it was for you that he endured these things. There is no greater love, he said, than to lay down one's life for his friends. When they put the cross on his shoulder and beat him until he could go no further, it was for you. When they pushed him against the wood and drove the nails through his hands and his feet, it was for you. When they mocked him and ridiculed him, taunted him, saying, "Save yourself, come down from the cross," he would not. He endured all these things for you. "I am the good shepherd," he said. "I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." When he bowed his head in death, when the spear pierced his side, when the water and blood poured forth, it was for you. The love of Jesus for you. Temples, Jerusalem, and the world must be destroyed. But before these things, Jesus himself, the one through whom the heavens and the earth were made, through whom and through him once more will be made a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem and a new and everlasting temple. The old temple, stained with the blood of bulls and goats. The old Jerusalem, the so-called city of peace, stained with the blood of the prophets. The old world, stained with the blood of all the martyrs and all the blood of all the graves of every last person. It must all pass away. Thanks be to God, it must all pass away. And it must give way to the new. For our Lord Jesus is the everlasting temple, and we have been cleansed forever by his blood. The heavenly Jerusalem, the true city of peace, will descend as his bride and remain with him forever. The new heavens and the new earth will be stretched out before us, and with our own eyes and bodies which have been raised from the dead, we shall see not only these, but shall behold the one who has loved us. When the world and all of its sorrows weigh heavily upon us, what then shall we say? What shall we say? Come. Come, signs and the sun and the moon and the stars. Come distress of the nations and perplexity because of the waves and the roaring seas. Come people so proud and arrogant and faint with fear and foreboding for what is coming upon the world. Come Lord Jesus, Son of Man in cloud with power and great glory. When we see all of creation shaking around us and coming undone, it is precisely because the Almighty Creator is drawing near and the fallen creation cannot bear His glory. So when you see these things taking place, when you experience them, do not be afraid. Do not be despondent. No, Jesus says, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Christ, our Savior, is drawing near. And that, my friends, in Christ, is how Christ himself would like us to think about the last days. If a fig tree can tell us when summer is near, then these signs will tell us that Jesus is coming near. And why in all the earth would we mourn when we see the signs of the end? Why wouldn't we rejoice? Because the heavens and the earth must pass away, but our Lord Jesus and his word will never pass away. Let us come to our senses then, and begin to perceive evermore what is real. Let us come to our senses and let us understand what is happening all around us. It is all just as Jesus said it would be. So therefore watch yourselves. Guard yourselves, he says, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, cares of this life, and the day come upon you suddenly as a trap. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and stand before the Son of Man cleansed by his blood, holy and righteous in his sight. No matter what else happens in this life, it will be just as Jesus said, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering.